Stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Stout?
Here.
Councilmember Wisnowski?
Here.
So we're going to have a presentation today by Oak Point, so I'll call Colin Lund up and he can do his thing.
Great. Well, Mayor and Council, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you tonight. My name is Colin Lund with Oak Point, and just want to give you a brief kind of status update. It's been a while since we've done this, and I'd like to say right at the onset, we'd like to do this more often. And also, if you ever have any questions, want to take a tour, I'm always available via phone, email. Give me a call, and we can get together. We've met with a few council members individually, and don't mind doing that. Don't mind taking that time, because I think information is important, and we try to be as open as possible with what we can be. Sometimes we purchase the sale agreements that we can't, but regardless, we'll try to accommodate schedules and that sort of thing to make sure you're well informed as we go forward. Well, there's been a lot of activity on site, and probably the coolest thing is I think we'll have our first resident here in a few months. So as many of you are aware, Connor Holmes, you can show the next slide. Connor Holmes, there we go. Connor Holmes had a open house, if you will, or opening of remodel a few weeks ago. They had tremendous turnout, and to me, I came down, it was late morning, and five cars ahead of me going west on Roberts all pulled into 10 trails. It was amazing. And I think what that really shows is there's, people really want to live here. That's a good thing. I mean, we've created through, kind of initial designs, the MDRT's hard work and all the direction they've provided. Collectively, the council and the public, we've really created a community that I think people will really enjoy and want to live in. So that's a great testament to that. Of the 80 interest cards that day that Connor prepared, it's amazing to see, and they continue to have about 70 or 80 people a week that come to their homes. They've sold four or five of them already, which is a tremendous sales pace for just launching. And it'll just be excited to see as we progress. I think the building permit activity is picking up quite a bit, and you'll see more and more of that to come. So right on their heels is Lennar, and I think the next slide is the Lennar slide. I don't have any of their homes finished because I saw them out there painting one home today, so it's almost getting finished. But this is some interior shots of some of their homes in the area. Slightly different style, a little more kind of the pitched roof, traditional that you'll see. But still a great builder and a great partner for us. And then in the future, we have three more home builders ready to go. We have somebody that's doing more of an attached product, so it'll be four, five, six units attached, so a different offering. We have another home builder that will be doing duplex units, again, a slightly different offering. And then the third one is a little bit unique. It's basically a detached townhouse unit. So think of kind of row housing, but then separate them by your 5 foot setback. And those have rooftop decks and just something really kind of cool and different. So looking forward to having a wide variety of product type. And then we actually have gotten significant interest in a multi-family site that we have out there as well. We thought that might be a few years off, kind of waiting for the single family market to mature and that sort of thing. But there's a local entity from the South King County area here who's interested in one of our multifamily sites. So we're just starting to have discussion with them on that as well. So those are all good things. The next slide. So as you come around the roundabout, and this is looking down, affectionately called the Ring Road. I think it's Willow Avenue. It's hard to remember the street names. These roads are open, so the public's more than welcome to drive down there. Keep in mind, Black Diamond Police do sit on these roads as well. So even though it appears like a construction site, the speed limits and stop signs still matter. So be aware of that. And frankly, I remind the public, it is a construction area, so you have to watch out for some big equipment and lumber and those things that happen on construction sites. So be aware of that if you picture onto the property. If you go back to that, Brenda. So as you pull in to the site, on your right, about half a block down, there's a new kind of cream-colored building being built. It was a trailer, temporary trailer, that we're modifying to be our welcome center. We had hoped that would be open by now, but as most things go, we have a contractor that's interesting at best, but we're working through some issues there. Andy's been helping us. He's smiling because he knows the pain and agony I've gone through, and we'll continue to go through. But we're going to open that thing, and it will be available for people to stop in as kind of their first point of contact for the community. So if it's a young family, for example, they say, okay, I've got three children ages 5, 4, and 2. What's the best housing? Where should I look for a house in this community? Well, we can point them to more traditional, you know, you might want this single family house versus this townhouse unit over here. So the job of the employees, there'll be Oak Point employees in the facility, will be to help acclimate them to the community and direct them to which home builder, what product type might suit them best. And frankly, if people just want to come in and know about the community, they can do that as well. So we'll have some interactive displays and other things in there for the public. You might see me in there from time to time as well, because it'll be warm and dry, although we're getting into the summer season now.
Yeah.
So the other thing that you see on here is the banners, which you undoubtedly noticed add some color and some interest along Roberts Drive and through our community. What's not up here yet are the flower baskets. We have over 100 flower baskets that we were waiting for that last, you know, freeze to happen, and I think we're almost there. We're probably there now. So probably by the end of the month or early May, you'll see, you know, 2 flower baskets on almost every one of these light poles. They're automatically irrigated, so they'll be nice and robust all through the summertime. They get watered when the irrigation comes on, so it's a pretty cool deal. All right, when we go on, Tentrils commercial. So this is just an image. I'll call it an artist rendering, so, you know, don't look at it. Don't scrutinize it too hard. But we've submitted for 3 commercial buildings in the Ten Trails commercial area right off of Roberts. Totals about 85,000 square feet. And right now we have discussions with a coffee shop, a bike shop, a bank, fitness, a couple restaurants, a medical facility, a dental office, and an office space. So, those are the uses that we currently have significant interest in. We have some interest on another building for, you know, the grocer and the hardware store and other things. That will take a little bit more time and more understanding in the marketplace. The commercial buildings, while I'd love to have them up now, we did submit and we've gotten first round of comments for MDRT. Frankly, I made the choice to use a different engineer on that, and that was probably a poor choice. We got quite a robust list of comments from the MDRT, and I decided to go back to our engineer record. So hopefully we'll be resubmitting those plans here in the next 30 days or less. Hopefully there'll be much fewer comments from the MDRT. They've been working with us to understand the level of comments and direction, so hopefully we'll have a clearer pathway and get those buildings under construction. The cool thing is the commercial area is also a spot to just linger. It's not just a spot to go and buy something. So this image shows you we're planning for a courtyard space and plaza. The road going through the middle will hopefully just be all like grades or won't be curved. Ultimately, we'd like to block that road off during community events. We can have a big plaza area there for farmers market on the weekends or whatever. So we're looking forward to having some fun on with the commercial space up and running. Community attributes, if you want to go to the next slide. This is an awesome photo. That was taken from an airplane, believe it or not, but it just looks beautiful. I don't know if public facilities or public infrastructure is really pretty, but that's pretty darn pretty. I like that.
Hey, could you send me that one?
I think Andy has it. But
do you have that one?
Yes, ma'am.
I want to trade it out in my PowerPoint.
So hopefully you all are enjoying the roundabout and getting used to how it functions. It's pretty cool. It's a lot better than the old Y intersection that was there, and you kind of have to turn back if you're headed east on Roberts, turn back on Lake Sawyer. But with the city's help, Bill Boston's direction, if y'all remember Bill Boston about roundabouts, it's on the ground. That's pretty cool to see. I'm pretty proud of that. I think the city is as well, as a major piece of infrastructure the city owns.
The world's best.
I've heard it described as the world's best roundabout. So, no, that's awesome. We've already talked about the banners and the light poles. To date, we've installed over 5 acres of trails and sidewalks on the site, which is a pretty phenomenal number. Some of those are open to the public now down Willow and some of the side streets. They'll significantly be open here in the next few months. We're trying to open more roadway, if you will, getting very close to being able to do that. Street lights are going up now, and once those street lights are on, hopefully we can open more of the streets and the walkways for people to enjoy and go park your car and walk your dog or whatever you'd like to do out on site. So that's going to be available. We've completed, I don't know, maybe 25, 30 rain gardens or bioretention facilities. So if you're walking along the sidewalks, you'll notice between the sidewalk and the street some dips, you know, in the landscape area. And that's where the stormwater gets collected from the surrounding area, goes through a infiltration facility that both cleans the water and the water infiltrates on site. We've had a really wet season, really wet April, but just, you know, I'm tired of the rain too. These facilities work really well. We've been monitoring them, the city's been out there looking at them, and they've been really functioning as designed, which I'm really pleased with, because if it didn't, that would have been a disaster. So I'm really happy those are functioning well, and looking forward to just the education of how you can actually manage stormwater from a low-impact development standpoint versus just a big vulture of, you know, something different than that. How about the next slide? So parks, we have a significant number of parks in this first kind of tranche, I'll say, the first two phases of the project. This is a shot of Civic Park looking south to north, essentially. Kind of that rock area at the top there. That's up about 10 or 12 feet from the surrounding area. And once that park's open, if you walk up on that, it's amazing what 10 or 12 feet does for a view. It's just, we've got 3 sitting rocks up there. You can sit up there. You can watch the sunrise if you're an early bird. You can watch the sunset. You can see Mount Rainier from there. It's just a beautiful spot. But in that park, not only do we have time to just sit and reflect, which I like to do as I get older, we've got a sports court. It's full court basketball. Essentially, it's slightly smaller, but it's great for full court, and it's that big concrete thing. We're actually going to be surfacing that in a, you know, two-tone color and doing all the striping, so it's going to be an awesome facility for people. There's a 2 bocce ball courts just beyond that, and they're done to regulation standards, so it'll be kind of fun to do. We have a zip line for kids, so, you know, I would say maybe 12 and under, unless you want to drag your legs down the zip line. We've got a slide that goes down a hillside. So once you get up to this upper platform area, one of the ways to get down is you can take the slide down, which is kind of fun. And we have a few toy structures that you can see there as well, kind of shed roofs. We have 3 or 4 fairly significant play structures. And then, of course, we have a grass lawn area that you see. What you don't see yet in this image is we'll have a restroom, a performance stage, and a covered picnic shelter as well. Those are a little bit behind. I won't get into it, but those are a little bit behind. We have some footings formed now. They're fully permitted, and we're just trying to figure out how to get those things built and the right contractor and that sort of thing. So the parks are moving ahead. I think what we'll end up doing is opening them, but keep kind of where the restroom and that sort of thing. We'll probably build a building and keep that fenced off while the rest of the park's open, and open the restroom and come over here and build the performance stage, fence it off. So there'll be a little bit of disjointedness there. And then right next to that, you don't see it, but kind of this side of the photo is our next part, which we call the Civic or Village Green. And that's coming along as well. So I think in the next, you know, 30 days or so, that park will be finished up. It's kind of a football-shaped park. About half of it's a grass lawn for, you know, just throwing a ball and kicking around a soccer ball. Can have a fence all the way around it because it has a road next to it, so, you know, stray balls won't go out in the street, hopefully. And then it also has a rise that you can get up and a place to just sit and contemplate. So that one's coming along. We have three green courts that are available near where the model homes are being built. Those are open to the public now. You want to go sit in the green court. So feel free to wander around. I mean, again, keep in mind there is construction out there, but you're more than welcome to venture on site and take a self-guided tour, or if you like, I can tour you around as well. With all these facilities, we're really looking forward to hosting community events. So, we've got a great asset here. We've got a lot of streets, a lot of land, a lot of parking. So as community events, if you're thinking about hosting something, give us a call. We might be able to accommodate. We can pull together that farmer's market. We get that thing going again. Hopefully we'll be out here. So those are the type of things we want to be able to reach out to the community and have space available for you for whatever events that you might think are appropriate for our site. So looking forward, a couple things. We're just finishing up the next 104 lots or something like that. We affectionately call it NTRAC 2. We have these really elegant names. And that's where two of our new home builders will be building. They'll be building the duplex units and the kind of the attached single family housing units. That final plat hopefully will be in for the city review by the end of the month. And we'll come before you midsummer, we'll say. I'm not sure exactly when it'll be brought for you. But that'll be exciting to have two new builders in there as a result of that final plat. We've submitted one additional preliminary plat, that's plat 2A. I don't know the number of lots, but it's down kind of west of our infiltration pond, down kind of just past the school site. So that's in now for city review, pending first round of comments. And we anticipate at least three other preliminary plats coming into the city, this by mid-year. One of those is for the age-qualified product that one of our home builders is going to be doing. So there's ultimately about 404 single-story age-qualified type housing. So this will be the first phase of that project. And when we look at these things, a preliminary plat, it takes some time to get through the city process, and we have to engineer it, then build it, then sell those lots. So, I'm always looking 2.5 years out. So we submit things now, and hopefully in 2.5 years we'll have some single-story homes for those of us that are getting a little long in years qualified for, of which I become that in August. So lucky. The second roundabout. So the main roundabout that we had the picture, that's our secondary access point, if you will. The main one is a little bit further down on Roberts Drive, about a half mile further down. So we have a roundabout that's being in the initial stages of the design now. So we've submitted a fast pass, I think it's called a truck turning radius thing, to the city. I think we've received comments, I'm not sure, from the city. And that's kind of the first step, and then we go on to do the engineering of that. My goal is to have that roundabout under construction this winter. And that will include not only from there, but all the front improvements all the way to the west city boundary as well. So we'll just finish that whole segment and get the power underground and do all that stuff. So that will be a great bit of work to do this winter time. Soils are great, and we can do that out there. Let's see what else we got going. Highway 169, Roberts Ravensdale, Andy's favorite project. This is a right out there, up by Roberts and Ravensdale on 169. That's a very tricky intersection. There's a lot going on there. So not only is it a safety concern today, but I think the Ravensdale leg fails, and we've known that. So we've been through several design iterations, and frankly, we started with a signalized improvement there in the state. From the time we submitted to trying to get that thing going, the state changed the policy, and they require roundabouts now. So we're working through that, the best mechanics of a roundabout to facilitate making that improvement. So we're meeting, we just met today, and we've been meeting almost weekly with the city staff to figure out the best alternatives for that. But hope to have that thing designed and on the ground as quickly as possible. Frankly, from a selfish standpoint, it provides a much better window, better turning movement for people getting trail. So I'm motivated to get that on the ground as well as the city is. So, again, Andy and his team have been a big help, and we'll continue to try to figure out for the city what's the best, optimal solution for that. It's a tricky deal. We've got wetlands, we've got Mugget Creek, Kinder Creek, we've got, I think there's power poles in every section of that roadway. Some right-of-way issues. We've got 60-inch Tacoma water line that goes through there. So there's a lot of things that really need to be determined to make that work. The last thing we've been working on with the city staff is the fire station. So part of our development agreement, by I think the 250 certificate of occupancy, we need to coordinate with the city staff to select and design a satellite fire station. So we've been working with the staff, the fire department, on.
Colin, did you want to move forward out of the sun?
Oh, I'd love to.
Just scoot the podium.
Just move sure the podium somewhere.
Yeah, keep on going.
Really close, or squat down. I'm tall.
Well, to the left, it looks like if you moved it to, no, to your right.
Way over here. There we go.
Yeah.
See you again. You're just so much better. The development agreement obligates us to select and design a fire station, a satellite fire station for the city, and has some parameters around the size and the equipment and the cost and that sort of thing. So we are actively pursuing that. And again, I think from a selfish standpoint, like the city, we want the best for our new residents. And one of those things is public facilities. And obviously, fire station is one that's needed, particularly in this side of town. So it makes sense to try to locate it over here. The development agreement called out three specific sites. We've walked them, we've talked with the city, and we're still trying to figure out from a design and functionality standpoint, which one would provide the best asset to the city long term. So we're in those discussions now and look forward to working with Andy and the fire chief and that sort of thing to figure out which is the best site, and we'll move that forward as quickly as possible. From a community standpoint, up on the board, we do have a 10trails.com website. So there's some pretty cool videos up there. So if you have some interest in going there, you can see the videos. There's community events, so things that aren't necessarily on our site, but I looked through there just today, and there's something about the some book sales, and there's something about the schools and what they're doing. So we try to keep current on what's going on in the city, kind of the big global issues, not council meeting type things, but more community level activities that people may have interest in. Just trying to promote the city, we've done some billboard ads. I don't know if you've seen those out on Highway 169. There's one currently at Cedar Grove Road and 169. We'll continue that. It'll continue to evolve and change. We also have directional signs around Southeast King County, so hopefully people are directed this way to King County. And we've already mentioned the website. And on the website, it gives you an opportunity to sign up for a newsletter if you'd like to do that. Our goal is to put out a quarterly newsletter. And then you can also get emails in your inbox if you want, your choice on that one. With that, that's just a general overview update. And again, I think the main message I want to send is we're here and we're available. So council members and public, if you have questions or want to reach out to me and have a private tour or anything like that, more than happy to do that on the behalf of Oakmont. So if you have any questions, love to answer them.
So when are you expecting your grand opening ribbon cutting?
Good question. certainly expected it by now, but a lot of that, you really need activity. So as soon as the other two or three builders get going, I think that's when we would do that. So, if we, it all depends on this next final plat timing, but, if that's midsummer, probably a few months after that.
Okay, yeah. Thanks.
Hate to invite a whole bunch of people on site and go, they got only one or two builders to go look at.
So did you say that there was, in the senior, so I'm assuming it's 55 and up area, so that was 400 units you were building
in
there?
We have 400 and, well, right now, proposed, I think it's 403 or 404 lots. We're not building the home. We're not home
right,
owners.
Right.
But they are already sold to a organization that does age-restricted community. So they'll have a large clubhouse facility and then, you know, walking trails and all that stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
You're not old enough yet.
No, I got one.
Brock's got 2 years, though.
Thank you, Colin.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I skipped over an agenda item for the agenda review and approval.
I move that we adopt the agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Motion carries. So I would accept a motion for the consent agenda.
I move that we adopt the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is public comments. Persons wishing to address council, please step up to the podium and give your name and city of residence and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Mr. Gomer Evans Jr.
I got just a quick comment on Mr. Cullen there talking about the development. Of course, I was here way back when, and I was just a little boy, but all the folks in town, the guys helped to incorporate our little city, would never, in their wildest dreams, ever envision what you guys have done. And it's unbelievable. I wish they were here to see what's going on. Okay, so, I think of my little thing. So,
use the microphone.
Where's
it on?
That's cool. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay? All right. So, last week I was totally surprised when Mayor Benson presented me with a street sign for Gomer Evans Jr. Drive. And I can't believe one day I couldn't do it. We passed it at the council meeting. All the council people had voted on. And all the people out here. And I usually heard something. I never heard a thing.
Right.
So when the mayor grabbed me by the hand, took me to the podium, I was really totally surprised. And so I am truly honored. I want to thank the mayor and the council for doing this. I also want to acknowledge the effort of Judy and Keith Watson for those that signed the petition.
No, there was about 50 people that signed the petition.
Wow, okay. So, anyway, just a little quick history of the little street. It's only 100 feet yards wide long, but it used to be a lot longer. But anyway, Boston Street used to be run from the top of the hill all the way down to Main Street. And when it hit Main Street, you could go down to the show hall, and then they had a little garage where Mr. McDowell kept the truck. And then next to the barbershop, and then the confectionery, but if you wanted to go down to the store, after you hit Main Street, there's a little wooden platform out there, and the stairs were hooked on to that wooden platform, that you could walk all the way down to Railroad Avenue, go to the bakery, or go shopping, or whatever. And in them days, there wasn't very many vehicles, and most of the vehicles were all driven by men, really. But what the people would walk down, why they walked down Lawson was it wasn't so steep as Baker. Baker had a really deep stiff. So they walked down Lawson and walked down to the store. And if they didn't have too many big things, they'd put them in a box and put their name in them. And then the clerk would put them at the end of the counter. Then when I got home from school, I delivered the groceries.
So nice. Basically,
Lawson is, and it was really something. But let's see, whatever. And anyway, so. Okay, I got that. But Lawson, also where I live right now, on right across the street, that's where I grew up. And all nine of them. My mother and dad had a house there, 9 children in it. And then next door to us was the Carl Unick. He ran the projection at the show hall. So that was kind of neat. The next to him was Fredrickson, the butcher. I can go on and on, all the people. But that was kind of a main drag. Am I getting over 3 minutes?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. So anyway, Lawson was a really, at one time, the main drag. It was the drag. We took the sleds down from top of the hill. Had two guys on the highway watching for hot cars, but there were no cars. You go all the way down. You could almost go to get the Morganville in the wintertime on a sled. So, okay. So I tell you that. So, okay. Then, now guess what? I have to change my address.
Yep.
I certainly won't mind doing that, but guys, it was a great honor for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Gomer.
Thank you, Gomer.
Jonna, sorry.
Jonna Thompson, Black Diamond. So I'm thrilled that Colin was here tonight and that we had like the first presentation on what's going on with the development and probably 2 years, right? And so it was really great to see you and to actually have that official presentation so we have an idea of what's happening. So thank you very much, Colin. And so this week I went to the meeting on Monday regarding the Planning Commission and their work. And it was very interesting to see some of the projections, especially with the transportation, and to kind of understand where the Planning Commission is and happy that they are up and running and moving along also. I went on the website this week to look for the ad hoc fire commission meeting, because I thought it was this week, but I didn't know. But in the process, I realized I really couldn't find anything on the website. It's just not being kept up, and I'm not really sure where that falls. But even when I went to the calendar, like the council meetings aren't even on there. So I'm really not sure.
No, they're on there.
No, they weren't when I looked. So, I mean, I just looked. When you click on calendar, nothing was on there except holidays. So, I mean, I don't know why mine would be different than anybody else. But I'm just, anyway, even when I went on to Spotlight, I couldn't even find the announcement about the Planning Commission meeting. So I was just
on
like,
the calendar, yeah.
And that was on the calendar? Because
yeah,
I didn't see it. I'm not even
calendar.
These meetings. So anyway,
it's on there. Yeah, that's weird.
I wonder why it didn't come.
Well,
up
there's
on my
two
computer.
Calendars. There's a calendar for activities. If you clicked on the wrong calendar, you wouldn't get it.
But if you click on the city calendar page,
okay,
right,
that's a little confusing, right? I mean, it'd be great if there was
one
calendar, because I thought I was in the right place, and I was like, why is the information not there? Anyway, I just want to go back to, I think the website needs some work and some attention.
We're doing that this year.
Okay.
All right. It's priorities. And that's exactly what I wanted to get to, Janie, is priorities. Really what I want to say is there are some priorities in the city, and I really don't feel like going to a 7-person council should be a priority in the city. I think there's other things, especially the last council meeting, attending, and I was one of the only residents that was here, so I encourage everybody to go back to and listen, but there was about an hour worth of testimony from staff who are not happy that they haven't been given appropriate pay raises and they're not happy with their salary. So to know that there's this kind of unsettling thing that's still happening in our city and the time that we still need to kind of get things straightened out.
Time is up.
Okay, thank you. So in conclusion, I don't support the going to 7 council members, and I did send an email to all of the council meetings
we
members
all have
today
it.
About
yeah.
that.
And I'm going to talk about it.
Okay.
Pat.
Pat Nelson, Black Diamond. You got to challenge it. That's the best roundabout in the world. And you want to make two more? You raise your own bar. I actually went and drove the facility and was impressed with how it looked. Actually, some of the workers that are building one of the houses, we wanted to go for a walk, so we went to park and we were blocking. They offered to move their car. I'm like, no, we'll work around you. You're getting your job done. It was very impressive the way it was handled. I toured the first house. A nice house. I'm excited the way the city's going. You know, we're sitting here. We don't need police security anymore. That's kind of nice. but I just want to encourage you guys to keep up the good work. I mean, you guys have kind of jumped in, cannonballed into a storm that you had to fix. Some other people messed it up, and I'm glad you guys are there to fix it. I'm glad there's some unity. I just hope that at the end of the day, that this, the way things are working, I don't see any of the drama that's been here for the past couple of years. It's very refreshing to tell people you live in Black Diamond now. Thank you, guys.
Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Gary?
Good evening, council. Gary Davis, Black Diamond. First of all, bring up something that probably isn't being covered enough. Highway 169, we've got a couple of areas that are real problems that have been ignored for years that both King County and the state need to be prodded in between Renton and Maple Valley. There are some slide areas that have repeatedly slid off and blocked 169. And all it's going to take is a combination of extremely heavy rain and maybe a little bit of an earth tremor, and 169 could get blocked for a while, and the road immediately above it would be placed at risk because some places that road comes close to the hillside. The other area is Coomer Bridge. I'm not as knowledgeable as I would like to be about it, but there have been some questions as to the stability of the gorge on both sides. That's another thing that perhaps moderate pressure needs to be put on King County and the state. And other than that, keep your fingers crossed. Hopefully you all can get the two roundabout solution on 169 worked out. And like I said, we'll keep our fingers crossed. Thank you.
Robin?
Robin Taylor, Black Diamond. Good evening, Mayor, Council. I wasn't able to attend the council meeting where you had some agenda bills on the consent agenda, and because I wanted to speak to that. But you've already passed your council rules, and I know you're wanting to streamline the process, but at the same time I'm thinking we're not so huge that we have such a ton of work right now that we need to streamline the process. My issue is that the public comments come after the consent agenda, and if you're going to put agenda bills on the consent agenda, I think it's only fair and right that the public comments come before that so that those agenda bills can be spoken to. My issue is it's transparent that you've got the bills there. They're in the consent agenda. They're in the packet. We can read the bills. I am as much concerned about knowing what you're voting on as to why you're voting on it. So when you put it in the consent agenda, nobody talks about it. You just vote. I want to know why you're thinking it should be passed. That's what I want to know. Because I vote for you. I don't vote for the consent agenda. I vote for you guys. And I want to know why you are doing what you're doing. And I think as a voter and a citizen, it's only right that the citizens have access to your brains to know why you're doing what you're doing. I wanted to also let you know that as far as I'm concerned, there is probably no perfect time to go to a seven-member council. It's going to be, there's going to be newbies on the council at any time that you do it. And so I really don't see that there's any downside to doing it sooner rather than later. It's going to be, I don't see that there's any perfect time when it can be done. So I support if you guys vote that in tonight, I'm all for it. If you decide to wait, you know, I'm all for it, whatever. But I just think, I don't think there's a perfect time to do it. So anyway, thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Kristen?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Kristen Bryant. I live in Bellevue, and I grew up on Roberts Drive in Black Diamond, and you have an agenda item tonight concerning that road that I wanted to make comments on. Paving and it's Agenda Bill 18.050, some paving and some pothole work. The part on Roberts Drive is to pave almost 4,000 square feet of the road shoulder on Roberts Drive. This is currently not paved. It's either gravel or grass. My concern is that this much pavement will be added immediately adjacent to wetlands or streams, but it doesn't appear from reading the agenda bill that any critical areas were identified or reviewed as part of considering this project. Although the proposed pavement is in the road shoulder, which is I know is the right-of-way, it is, again, also immediately adjacent to wetlands, including a stream that comes out of the woods, flows through the shoulder, and then back into wetlands. So any impervious pavement and work that you're going to be doing there does have a real chance of negatively impacting those. As you know, in 2017, Oak Point put in a water line to serve their development that we just heard about. They dug up parts of the road in the shoulder. And as far as I can tell from the map, now these shoulders that were dug up by Oak Point for their project are the same shoulders the city wants to have the taxpayers pay to pave. Oak Point didn't identify some of these wetlands in their 2017 project maps, but they do exist and they should be considered. For example, I'm referring to across from the library, kind of near the community garden as one. The 2017 waterline project requirements called for replanting the original vegetation along Roberts Drive, but in some places that was not done and it was changed to gravel. I brought that up at the time, and I haven't heard anything about it. I have photos that show that it wasn't replaced as it used to be, and now there are potholes developing on the shoulder much faster than they used to, or in places that didn't used to be as much of a problem. This may be because it was changed due to Oak Point's project, and it may also be due to increased truck traffic, much of which is due to Oak Point's development. Perhaps the project should be reviewed and you could consider whether there could be any vegetation restored on the shoulder to make the less pavement necessary.
Your time is up.
Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Erica?
Hi, council. Mayor, Erica Black Diamond, Erica Morgan Black Diamond. I want to talk a little bit about these franchises that are really the utilities. Most of you are not old enough to remember, and I've been to backward places in the state, so I'm sort of more familiar with the issues that come up. What I have in front of me here is actually the bill that the agenda bill that the Grange had for broadband and telecommunication services, if they exist somewhere in the state, that they would exist everywhere in the state. And this is like the Grange coming into the modern times from when we had a program to electrify America and a program to get telephone service everywhere in America. I mean, these franchises for these services now, the broadband and the telecommunications and the communications services, are like bringing everybody up to those same levels. And that's why the Grange was involved in it, or is thinking about being involved in it. And they're asking, they're going to be asking the state that they didn't get on for the short time that they had, but they're going to be asking the state to do that. And what I'm really concerned about is if the city grants franchises for the developed area in the new developments and doesn't say everywhere please in the municipal boundaries, that we will be in a situation where we have granted these modern facilities for some of our residents and not all of them, and will have created haves and have-nots. And you know, like what they say here, it's economic vitality, healthcare access, and education. I mean, those are big deals. And the thing of it is, if people don't have them, if the kids don't have them at home, if they're not available, if people can't do telecommuting from where they live. And I talked to a few people around town. I'm not just the only one who has an impossible telephone service, and I don't really expect it to be any different for a long, long, long time. But there's people right here in town, and Morgan Creek is another bad area, and down in front of the museum is another bad area. And on this hill up here, there's many places where you almost have to have a satellite telephone. Satellite telephone, your air time is going to be really expensive. You won't be able to do
your time it. Is up.
So I want you to consider those things. And it wasn't just, in fact, it wasn't at all, a council who didn't want the developer to have the things that they needed. It was a council who cared about what the whole city.
Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close these public comments. We have no public hearings or unfinished business. New business, a resolution number 18-1243 awarding bid on the 28 patching projects, and Mr. Botcher will present resolution number 18-1244 awarding the bid on the chip seal project at the same time. Mr. Botcher.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. Well, actually, this project, two projects, but they're connected financially and also connected by contract. So let me explain. Let's start with the patching contract. On the road that we're going to be chip sealing in preparation for the chip seal project, we need to, there are some areas that have deteriorated enough that we need patching in preparation before we chip seal the street. Additionally, along Roberts Drive, on the inside corners across from the library and the inside corner and the second one further to the north, trucks with trailers are not able to keep their trailer on the pavement without going over the yellow line. So it's a significant maintenance problem for us to keep the shoulder adequately smooth, and the potholes pop out, especially when it's raining, very quickly. So that creates a hazard. It's not safe. It can cause damage to the vehicles. So it's something that we would really like to get repaired. We understand that there's wetlands nearby, and it actually is going to produce less splashing of muddy water on the side of the road if we keep the vehicles on a smooth surface. So that's kind of a safety and a maintenance issue. Let's talk about the funding On the last page of your packets, the funding comes from three sources, TIB grant, which includes patching, chip seal, and the city management of the project. There's also a portion of the patching comes from our operations or a maintenance budget of, with street funds. And then the balance of the funding comes from grant matching. The grant matching money is a set aside that May Miller has provided for when we have grant-funded projects, and that's typically is the funding for that set aside is typically REIT, real estate excise tax funds. So when the chip seal project, this will be the, it's over a mile. It's the longest, or about a mile, project that we've done in the city. So it's a great way to rehab an existing street and preserve the integrity of the street, and is encouraged by Transportation Improvement Board as the most effective way of preserving an existing street. If you wait too long to protect the street, then and you have to totally reconstruct it, then it's a lot more grinding and overlay, which is much more expensive. So with that, recommend approval of letting us get starting with the CHIPS, the chip seal project, which is Action Bill 18050, and as well as the chip seal project, which is 18051.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Yes, I actually talked to you a little bit earlier in the month, I think, about this, and had a lot of questions regarding just, you know, roadway size, fascias like that. I personally am in favor of this resolution just because I know our streets need to be improved, they need to be maintenance, they need to be drivable, they need to make sure we have sides and overflows on either side and just maintaining them. We're going to get a lot of people in the future, so it's important to keep our roads maintained and well drivable. So I'm in favor of this.
Councilmember Deedy.
So I'm also in favor of this. And with the more development happening out at Oak Point and more traffic going along that road, it is important to get that smoothed out a little better. Also, what was I going to say? I think it's just important that we get that smoothed out, but also maybe look at if city staff and council mayor look at slowing that portion of the road right off of Roberts, right off of 169 on Roberts to 25 instead of having that 35 and then 25, making it all 25, and maybe that will help our road as well. As something to think about and maybe do a work study or just talk to city staff about. I think that would help our street right there as well.
Councilmember Edelman.
Well, this also was brought up in our Public Works Committee meeting last week, and it was recommended that we bring it forth to the council. We need to keep in mind, too, that this is partially a TIB grant that the council already authorized the acceptance of. So I wholeheartedly agree with this. So if nobody's got any more comments.
Aaron,
go ahead.
Oh, Councilmember Stout.
I just look at the Roberts Drive portion of this, excuse me, as a real safety issue. Those, you know, ruts that develop along the sides of the road, that's a narrower lane than is typical. And for those of us who drive it all the time, you know, we're kind of ready for it. But as we have new people coming into the community driving at night or in the rain, it could be a real hazard. Younger drivers, teenagers, you know, just may not really have the ability to handle that situation. So I say go forward, and I really look forward to having that road improved for drivers. That being said, I lost my page here. There we go. I move to adopt resolution 181243 authorizing the mayor to execute an $80,320 contract with Puget Paving and Construction Incorporated for the 2018 patching project and authorizing a $5,000 contingency fund for the construction of this project.
I second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
And as we've discussed both of these together, I also move to adopt resolution 181244, authorizing the mayor to execute a $103,218.20 contract with Doolittle Construction LLC for the 224th Avenue to Southeast 228th Avenue, Southeast and Southeast 296th Street chip seal project, and authorizing a $5,000 contingency fund for the construction of this project.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Boucher. The next item on the agenda is a resolution authorizing contract with BHC for building and planning related services. Mr. Williamson.
Thank you, Mayor and Council members. What we have before us tonight is to continue on the good services that BHC has provided to us through our building plan check review, Delta Health Plus code enforcements, and also this year we've added the planning part of that, which Bark and Kate have helped the city on through SEPA and those reviews. So we've now brought forward with the suggestion by May Miller that we just put it into one contract instead of having these two different contracts out there, because they're just one company, and so we're able to put the two together. This has had finance review. This has had the city attorney's review. They've provided us, I think, exceptionally well services. It has been a benefit. I think I came before the council over a year ago and asked that we actually get to be able to have some counter time for, and that has been very helpful. It helps us prevent red tagging someone's thing or going out there and having to do, you know, the unfortunate, we don't like red tag sites, and it's uncomfortable for everybody. But being able to have the time with the building official there to actually make some time so people can come in and have some conversations so they clearly understand the process or what they're trying to do is appreciated by staff, it's appreciated by my planners, my front counter people. So this has been a very good, and so from the staff, we'd ask for your approval.
Councilmember Edelman.
Is Colin a full-time Black Diamond employee, or is he BHC?
Colin is AHBO.
Oh, AHBO.
And Colin is only there 2 days a week.
Okay. Because I wanted to give him some kudos, because he handled the hearing earlier this evening very, very well. But I like BHC. I think we've gotten very good service from that company, and I think we should continue.
Councilmember Deedy.
So along with Edelman, we've worked with BHC many a times over the years, and also it helps to stay with the same group for until we can afford a permanent position in the city. To make it just easy for your people that come in and get permits, so you're not getting different people that come out and look at a job site and say yay to this, and then somebody else kind of says no, that's not. You know, so it's consistency. It helps, and it also helps for homeowners and businesses to have a recognizable face that's always the same that comes out and helps. So, until we can hire a new full-time staff member, I think BHC is the best way to go.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Basically just repeating exactly what our other two council members said, you know, and hearing from you saying that, yes, staff is happy with the service, we like what they're doing, we have no complaints. I mean, that to me, as a council member, says a lot to me and helps me make my decision. So I'm in favor of it.
Councilmember Stout?
Help me clarify a little bit here. We currently use some building inspectors from other cities, right?
We do not.
Not anymore.
Oh, so this is just...
We currently use BHC, yes. Earlier in the year, the city of Maple Valley, the two directors came and met with us and had discussions, and I informed the mayor at that time that they didn't have the capability to take care of our needs. So in our tri-party agreement, the agreement that we have, if those cities get busy, we drop down their priority mm-hmm. list. So we saw all the new construction going on around Four Corners with the apartments, mm-hmm. which take a lot more inspection time and intensity. They also have the soon-to-be residential thing of like 200 and some odd homes. They had a lot of activity. So I do appreciate the two directors from Maple Valley coming over and having discussions with me and saying, Andy, you got to start planning on how are you going to move forward.
Okay, I guess I just missed that step. Right. So this is...
We still have that contract if we ever needed to fall back on it, that agreement. But with the amount of work they have and the amount of work that we had, and this gives us counter time.
Great.
We didn't have counter time.
So this is a stepping stone to hiring our own building inspector.
Yeah, and ultimately whether we'll bring our own inspector or building official, two different categories, and then supplement them with the BHC folks, I think time will tell.
Okay.
We're issuing permits, which I'll give the department report here tonight in a rapid manner. So.
Okay.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
You know, I think if we're happy with the performance that we've had with them, we're happy with the relationship. It's kind of really dumb to drop somebody in the middle of as busy as we are. Ramp-up time is always a pain. I know from my line of work, ramp-up time in the middle of a project can kill a project. So I'm fully support moving forward with this.
So I make a motion to adopt resolution number 18-1245, authorizing the mayor to execute a professional service agreement with BHC Consultants, LLC for Community Development Services.
Second.
Mayor, may I just make one comment,
yes.
So everyone knows? So I just noticed as the scope of services was, there was some last-minute kind of fluctuation on detailing it, and I think there's a minor correction that needs to be made to paragraph 1A because it doesn't refer to Exhibit C. It just refers to Exhibit A, so it should include both. So if you approve this tonight, I would recommend approving it with that one change because Exhibit C also includes the planning services. So just that one oversight there.
Thank you.
So you're going to pull back your motion or amend your motion?
So amend my motion. So when you're saying which page?
So on page one of the contract, page one. Section 1A, where it describes the scope of work, it just refers to the work described on Exhibit A, but it also should say Exhibit A and C, so that C was
okay.
left
so
off.
I make an amendment to my motion to include... service section A 1C, is that what you
and
said?
ANC.
ANC.
Second.
I'm number two. Number
sorry.
Two refers to A and C.
Yeah, paragraph two, has got
right.
to work, it does A and C, but it must just...
Serves up by consultant.
Yeah.
Just so there's no...
Yeah.
No.
So
yeah, thank you, dear.
Just make that change there, too.
Good job.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
catch.
Okay. We've got a motion and a second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Next item is an ordinance amending Black Diamond Municipal Code 2.04.010. Council Member Edelman.
Recently, we adopted new council rules to update them and to legalize them. And so along with that, we found that there were some inconsistencies with our municipal code. In our municipal code, BDMC 2.04.010, it talked about the Black Diamond Municipal Building. And it hasn't been a Black Diamond Municipal Building for many, many, many years. That's back when I think the entire city hall was contained within this building with the police department and the trailer. Anyhow, we're modifying 2.04.010 to read the city council chambers located at, with the correct, the address was correct. That's in about three places in that section. We also needed to update the code to talk about being able to cancel meetings. We didn't have the authority to actually cancel meetings in the past. We would postpone them to a future date. And so with this ordinance, we're going to say regular meetings, work sessions, and town hall meetings may be canceled or rescheduled by a majority vote of the city council in an open public meeting. The mayor or majority of the city council may cancel a regular meeting, work session, or town hall in case of emergency or other unforeseen events by notifying the city clerk. So basically what we're doing is just updating the code to be consistent with our council rules.
Councilmember Deedy.
So, and I foresee something like where we would cancel a meeting or reschedule would be nothing on the agenda, nothing important that needs to come up, a blizzard or some natural disaster. Those would be the reasons. It wouldn't just be, you know, we're up here and we decide that, hey, we just don't want to meet in April or May. So they would have to be valid reasons and discussed by the whole council to do that. So I'm totally in favor of changing this and adding these words.
Okay, if there's no other comment, I move to adopt ordinance number 18-1103, amending section 2.04.010 of the Black Diamond Municipal Code for consistency with council rules of procedure, providing for severability and establishing an effective date.
Second.
Any further discussion?
I guess I have one more comment that I missed. We did add a severability clause to the end of our council rules. And this feeds right into that, too, so that if a portion of that document or this document is found to be invalid, the rest of the document stands as on its own two legs. So, okay.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. You might at this time look at your calendars because we don't have anything on the agenda for the work study on May 10th, and we already have an extra meeting in May for our Tri-City meeting on the 23rd, and I didn't know if maybe you wanted to cancel that meeting since we already have an extra meeting in the month of May.
I don't have a problem with that because I already have a conflict. It's my birthday party.
We could get you cake.
Well, my birthday's the week before, but we could celebrate it on the 3rd if you'd like. Anyway, I don't have a problem with canceling that meeting at all.
So,
Councilmember Deedy?
Which?
So, May 10th, you're saying that there's nothing scheduled.
So far we haven't scheduled anything.
And we have another work study on what day?
On the 23rd is the Tri-City meeting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, so I'm okay with canceling May 10th as well.
Make a motion.
Okay. So I make a motion that we cancel the May 10th work study.
Second.
I'm just checking the calendar.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, the next item on the agenda is increasing the size of council to 7 members. Councilmember Edelman.
Well, we've had many discussions about increasing the size of our council as we are now. I mean, we're at 4,300 plus citizens. Houses are selling up at 10 trails. We are by law required to go to 7 members when we hit 5,000. So at our last meeting, we requested that the city attorney draft an ordinance to go ahead and increase the council to 7, which would then also repeal anything that this would supersede. It's a call for applicants so that the mayor and clerk can, or the clerk especially, can post on the website to call for applications to be sent in. And we all agreed to that. Well, then this afternoon, We all received an email from Jonna Thompson, and she had some questions, and I told her in my return to her that I would discuss this tonight. I want this to be an open discussion among us council members. Nothing's cast in concrete until we do a vote. So if as we go through what Ms. Thompson, go through her questions, if you guys agree, disagree, whatever, I'm just here throwing it out there. So whatever the council as a whole would like to do is fine with me. One of her first questions has to do with timing and why do we have to do it now. The reason that I have brought it up is that we are right now in a place where if we approve this, we get the applications in, we can give enough time to give people to respond. We really fast-tracked Mr. Wisnowski, and there was a reason for that because of our council retreat. We don't need to do that for these next council members, so we can give more time to the citizens to respond. It also gives us as the council and the staff and the mayor a chance to go through and review these applications and decide how many people are we going to call for an interview, you know, and then we can do the interview process in an open public meeting like we always do. My rationale for doing this right now is that as we head into the summer, July, August time frame, Mae Miller is going to be in hog heaven because she gets to talk about budgets, and budgets are confusing. And so my thought was to get new people in, and that will help them get up to speed, go through all the work studies that we have, because we have at least three, don't we, or do we have four? So that by the time the budget comes up for final approval in December, they will be up to speed and be able to vote on it and have enough background and education to have a good vote. So that was my thought. So then the next one had to do with city growth. Personally, we don't have to wait for the actual 2020 census. The city staff gets census data annually, don't you?
Right, in July.
In July. So they know, especially when we've got new houses coming in, is it King County or is it the state that
state.
It's the state that then gives us those projections of what our population is. So I don't want to wait too long either, because I don't. When we go to a seven-member council, those are appointed positions. One would be for a two-year or less. One will be for 4 years or less. And then that will put them in the correct election cycle so that we don't have five people all being elected at one time, which does happen in some. Duval just went through that, which then feeds into the young council comment that right now 60% of our council are brand new this year. And I understand that. But if you look at the history of the council in the last 7 or 8 years, we've not had people that have been on the council for a really long time. I'm very proud of this council. These new folks have stepped up from the get-go. Listen to them tonight. Everybody has done their homework. They come in ready to discuss these issues that we have before us. They talk to the staff. They know what's going on. I expect that we will go through the same process that we did with Mr. Wisnowski, and we want to get the best qualified people we can get. The fact that they may not have much time in, we've got some really fast learners, and I don't think we should sell our citizens short. I know a lot of the people that live in town, and I have full confidence that we would be in the same position. And for right now, Tammy and I aren't going anywhere. We're still going to be around for a couple more years. So if you want some now old gray-haired people, we're here.
I got gray hair. Just color it.
I don't do that anymore.
That's why I cut mine short.
I'm old, so that's okay. And I think as far as working together as a council, this is what you see. We work well together. We talk to one another. We don't talk to three of us at a time. and you won't see us in those kind of situations. But when we have an issue, and I'm going to pick on Aaron tonight because I came over to Aaron before the meeting and said, what do you think about the memo? And so I wanted to get a feel for a council member and what they thought. And so I knew going in that, you know, there are some questions, and that's okay. And then we talk about priorities, and Jonna brought up website issues, and there's other staffing and priority issues amongst the staff. We're legislative. We can direct as the council of the whole. We can tell the mayor how to direct her staff, but those are their priorities. Our priority is to show up at the council meetings, do our homework, and to pass legislation. So the fact that we'll be seven members, other than creating two more packets every 2 weeks, there's a bit of a hit with payroll, but that's not a budget problem at this point because we do get paid a really high salary to sit up here. It's $160 a month.
Wait, that's yours.
Oh, no, I get paid $200 because I'm mayor pro tem.
But you only get paid twice a year, so it's not a huge payroll problem.
It's not a big hit on the staff either.
That's all right. I didn't know we get paid when I applied.
Hey, here's a cost savings.
That's right.
I suspect with two young ones that you can use that extra few hundred bucks. So although I understand the priorities and we as the council want to help with those priorities as much as we can, that really is a mayor staff issue. And as far as appointing or voting, I think, unless the city attorney corrects me, we need to do the appointment first, but then, and this is my opinion only, I am hoping that whoever gets appointed is going to be willing to run in the next election. That would be a nice thing to happen. But life happens sometimes, and things don't work out that way. But I think we have to do the appointment to begin with. Then it's just a matter of timing, right?
Well, technically, you could create the position and not appoint it and just wait for the next election. But
that's a year and a half from now.
Yeah.
I'm more comfortable with doing it sooner rather than later. Then there's a question about diluting our power. I'm not that interested in whatever power I may or may not have, contrary to what some people may think. I'm not really impressed with the title. But I think the fact if we are selective in who we choose to be our new members, it's not going to dilute our power. It's going to add to our power. We need to just get forward-thinking, independent-thinking people. So, and the cost is really negligible when you look at the total budget that we've got. So those are my reasons for why I wanted to move this forward. But we as a council need to have that discussion, and I'm fine with whatever the majority feels.
Councilmember Deedy.
All right. So I wasn't here at the last meeting, so I missed the vote on that. But we have kind of talked about it a little bit. You know, Janie and I have talked about it during the whole 2 years of craziness. But I would have liked to see a work study on this where we all sat and we brought the pros and cons of coming together and making a seven council. And that way the city, the citizens would have had a chance to have a little bit more time to say, okay, here's why each five members want to go to a seven-member council. Here's you know, the reasonings between each member. Also, you know, it is a little bit of a budget hit, not a huge budget, obviously. And then as far as we have three new members on the council this year, that's a huge burden to staff. You know, you might think, well, how is that a staff burden? But each one of these council members, me included, have to go to each staff member and say, hey, what are you putting this on? Can I meet with you? Can we discuss it? Do you have the time to do that? So adding two more council members this year, that would be five brand new council members that are going through a new the finance year, going through a whole bunch of issues with the city and having to go to each staff member and having to learn all of the issues. So I personally think that if we held some work studies this year and we brought this ordinance back up sometime in the first part of next year, I would be okay with voting this and then appointing two members next year. But I think this year, for us having three members right now and the learning curve and everybody getting caught up and going through a budget, is plenty. And then next year, appoint two new people. They're going to go through all that you guys have gone through right now, and then they're going to go through the budget as well. So so that's my two cents on that. So I'm happy to hear anybody else.
Council Member Stout?
I have some concerns about appointing two new members very soon, and for some of these reasons, but my thought is we have the complement of the council is a brand new vibe. We have our own way of interacting and doing whatever it is that we do. And I think it would be good for us to establish ourselves as this is who we are and this is how we function together, so that our community members can see who we are and can understand what kind of group they might want to join. I think right now we're pretty new. We've come out of a cycle that was fairly contentious and pretty tough on the community. So we've actually seen our attendance at our council meetings dwindle quite a lot. And perhaps as we move forward, we may have a little bit more community involvement as the community members see what it is that we're about and what we're doing. And so that's my basic thought. If somebody was feeling like it was an emergency that we had to hurry and get new council members, I would be willing to entertain that, but I don't think it is. I don't think we really need to go forward quickly. We don't need to protect ourselves, with a bigger group right now. So basically that's my thought, that if we, and I agree, I think it would be a great idea to have some work studies. Hey, maybe we should have a meeting on May 10th.
We just canceled that meeting.
I know. I think there's plenty of time to
Council Member,
to study it out. Yes.
Oh. Council Member Oglesby.
Just to go back to our city attorney here, explain a little bit. You mentioned something earlier in the conversation regarding we could, agree to two council members, but then maybe in the next year put it into the voting cycle. Can you explain that a little more?
Sure. So it was just reminding everyone that the process of expanding the council to seven members is one step. Actually appointing the people to fill those new positions is a second step.
Okay.
Nothing says you have to do those steps simultaneously.
Okay.
So, technically you could adopt an ordinance expanding the council to seven members, mm-hmm. but not fill those positions until you guys get ready to fill those positions. I'm not saying that would be a productive exercise, but that's something you could do. I mean, it would just be sort of we're going to have two empty chairs for a while. And that would make it more difficult, potentially, to pass certain types of resolutions or motions or ordinances that require a vote of the full council if you've got empty chairs. So it's not a great idea, I don't think, practically speaking, but it doesn't mean that you couldn't do it. So,
okay. Thank you for explaining that.
You're saying is that if you adopt the ordinance, then we have two empty chairs.
Yes.
So if we don't adopt the ordinance and wait till a later date, then we do the ordinance and then interview, do the whole process together, not
yes.
separately?
Yes. This is drafted so that, kind of contemplating the idea that the interviews and appointments would follow shortly after the ordinance is adopted. It's not so practical to have a long gap of empty seats.
Right.
It makes it harder to get that majority that we need to pass.
There are certain items that require a vote, not just a majority of a quorum, but a majority of a full council.
Right.
So if you don't have a full council.
It'd be hard to do the two-thirds vote for any of those.
Some of those things would be difficult, yeah.
Good point.
So with that information, thank you. I do like a seven council in the future, yes, as our city grows and as the need moves forward that we need it. I think it's definitely something that we will look forward to doing. I do agree with some of the majority of the conversation here is talking about BMA might be a little bit too soon. Yes, I am a new one in that 60% of new council members at this time. I do have a lot to learn, and as my experience going into certain areas and having people that have experience in positions that I move forward in, I like to lean on them as our knowledge, city staff, my council members beside me in knowledge. So I think it would be nice to get a good year underneath my belt so then I can then help mentor and leadership those new council members coming up in the future. That's my opinion.
Councilmember Dede Edelman.
I have my hand up too. So.
Oh. Well, that's right, because I'm gonna just pull this off the agenda.
Oh.
It's my ordinance. I can pull it off the agenda. It's obvious that something's happened in the last 2 weeks because everybody was for it 2 weeks ago. So I'll just pull it, and then when you guys are comfortable with bringing it back, whenever that may be, the work is done. All we have to do is put a different agenda bill on it. So.
Mayor.
Councilmember Dede.
So, also another thing, you had mentioned we could put it on the ballot for a seven-member after you vote in, you know, to do a seven-member position? Is that
well, it wouldn't be on the ballot. You would still be up to you to appoint the empty chairs,
perfect.
But then those people would serve until the next general election, in which case then the people choose through a election.
Right. Perfect, because I was going to say, next election, there's three of us up, and so you would have... If that was the case, if we did that, it would be five people. And could you just imagine the signage out here? We're just trying to find five people to run.
Wait a minute. Because the way the terms are going to be, if it happened today, one would be for 2 years, one would be for 4 years. So it's not going to be five at one time.
No, I was just saying that if what he had, what I thought he had said, that'd be crazy, but he corrected it and saying, no, that's not true.
But Duvall just went through that this last election.
Well, just so everyone's clear, if you create new chairs, new seats, any time before the next general election, and you fill those empty seats before the general election, those seats will still stand for re-election. I mean, the appointment is only good until the next general election. So
it would be five members, right?
Yes, and one of those positions would be running for a 2-year term, and one would be appointing for a 4-year term.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. Okay, I think Councilmember Stout.
I just have one last comment. I just wanted to say that, yes, at our last meeting, we did decide to put this on the agenda. And Councilmember Edelman, you said something happened between now and then. And you're right. What it was thinking. Mm-hmm. I think we just all kind of had to plot and plan and regurgitate and think and ponder. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. So I actually feel really proud to come to a meeting and be able to say, I think that we need to wait on this. And that's the beauty of what we do here in the city council. The same thing happens when we go to committee meetings. We ask questions of the staff. We say, wait, what about this? Or I'm not in support of that. Or could we get some more information? So I think it's good for our citizens to know that we're not coming to any meeting with preconceived ideas of how anybody else is going to talk about anything. We come with our own ideas and our own thoughts and our own opinions. And hopefully that's why the Black Diamond citizens elected us, so that we would come here and think, not so that we would all come here and agree. We try to be, you know, kind and supportive of what's going on in the city, but we're going to move forward with our own best ideas. And we can have conversations where we're not going to be unkind to one another or whatever. We just can state our opinions or our thoughts, and then we go forward. So I'm going to be really excited to keep working on that.
Thank you.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
I think this meeting is a great example of the fact that we are not a council of one, right? We are a council of five individuals that all have our own trains of thoughts and our own ideas and our own agendas and our own, you know, what kind of our, you know, what we, how we think and how we approach things. I do think that Aaron made a really good point. One of the things is that the citizens of Black Diamond who are considering running for these or applying for these appointed positions need to make sure that they can work with all of us. As much as I was looking to not be the new guy any longer, I think that we could. That's okay. But I think that waiting a little bit isn't going to hurt anything, right? We don't have to do it right away. While I think also doing it right away wouldn't hurt anything, I think that if we delay it just a little while, one, we might get someone interested from the new development that would some.
They have to live here a year, right?
Really, newbies. I guess we couldn't delay it that long, could we? But
unless they move from some other part of the city and they moved up there, they'd still be residents.
That's true. Yeah. So, but I think it's great to see, you know, for the public to see this kind of conversation going on, right? We're not all a bunch of rubber stamp yes people. We all are very independent and have our own trains of thought and stuff. So. I'm glad to be a member of this council.
And my feelings aren't hurt, so don't worry about it.
Councilmember Oglesby.
I just want to say, with that being said, you know, I'm excited to see what the next year brings us and what opportunities happen out there for residents of Black Diamond to step into that next two positions that we will look forward to filling. So make sure you get your walking shoes on because, you know, election will come up and door billings will happen.
Okay, do we have any department reports, Mr.?
Did we need to vote on removing?
Pardon me?
Do we need to vote on removing this from the agenda?
No,
I
removed
it
from the agenda.
Okay.
We she put it on, she takes it off. Okay. Councilmember Williamson. I mean, Mr. Williamson.
Go back in time.
You used to be.
former council member.
Just wanted to bring the council members up on activities within the community development and the MDRT team. It is really busy. I encourage you to take Colin up on his offer, invitation to come tour the site, or get a hold of us in our department, and we'll take your. Because there are a lot of areas that are interesting to look at that aren't open to the public, but we will be opening up more areas. I think the benefit of actually coming on the site and taking a tour from either Mr. Lund or ourselves is there's a lot of things to brag as a community. And one of the things to brag about was some of the conditions that were put on the MPD and the development agreement. And one of those conditions was to try to use as much product, reusable products, on site to eliminate the truck traffic, especially on Roberts Drive. So what I'd illustrate that with is, I think most of you have been on site, you've seen the water retention pond and the infiltration pond. We took thousands of trucks off the road because as that product was mined, it was then processed, it was the rocks were crushed, they were used for fill. The sanding material that came out met the specs better than the current specs the city had to bed the water in. So we used all that material to bed all the water line in. saving thousands of trucks as the grinding and the processing of the bark material. That's the material that was put on 5 miles of trails within that thing. So, and then the preferred supplier, which Mr. Lund and Goodfellow negotiated, is through Palmer Coke and Coal, which then used the back gate, which then again keep those vehicles off Roberts Drive. I think that is something to be very proud of as a community, to what we've done in implementing those things. And when people do good things, we should say, hey, you did a good job. So that's a good compliment to Goodfellow and for Oak Point for instituting those things to make sure that they happened. The pace of construction is it's very fast out there. I had talked with Mae Miller 2 days ago and told her we had 5 permits. We had 6 more house plans drop on our office again today. And through the process that we are doing with pre-registered plans with Connor Homes, and to be an efficient government agency, we were able to then reissue those permits within 1 day.
Nice.
So by pre-registering, we are able to move through those Lennar Homes until they get on that program, take a little bit longer, and take a different level of review. But the process is moving very fast out there. Lennar has now moved in 3 framing crews, which are more modernized framing crews, which use forklifts and the pickers to move the walls and get the walls faster. So as they become more familiar with our style, what we're looking through from erosion control, stormwater prevention, and the building officials, those houses will connect. And a funny situation, I'm glad Seth is here, is me and Seth happened to go into Oshio's yesterday but for lunch, not together, but at a separate time, like a few minutes apart. And Oshio's was absolutely packed, Seth is right. And the look on the lady running the thing had this glazed look because Lennar's 3 framing crews had walked in and there was 25 people sitting at the table and like 7 people at the counter. So those revenues are coming back to our local our local businesses.
Yep.
So
that's good.
As most of the council members know, and it's been a pleasure to work with you. And you've all taken me up on the opportunity to actually come in and sit in my office and learn what's going on. And that shows respect to your staff, and we do appreciate that. Either the phone call you make or just those conversations. I just want to express that to you from our staff, from our departments, that we appreciate that level of respect from the council members that you give us on those issues. And I would encourage the council members, don't get wed to only 2 roundabouts. Okay, the 169 is going to take, remember your retreat, I told you that's about a year of planning, and it's going to take all of that. We have a great team from the city side, and WashDOT is involved in this meeting with us, and the Oak Point, their traffic people, and their engineers, and our engineers, and it's really a team effort to try to figure out all those moving pieces at, as we all know, our worst intersection in the city. And we know that if we can fix that intersection, then Seth has a much easier job because then the city all meets concurrency. So we know there's a big project there. We're working hard to do that. Just keep patient and don't get wed to one idea because it's changed 3 times already. And I'm here to answer any questions. If you had any particular questions about my department or community development or MDIRT, but if not, I'll sit back down.
Andy, when do you think we'll have our first certificate of occupancy?
I would say within 6 months easily with the Connor Homes. They're moving fast, easily within 6 months. We're already in discussions with the developers on putting the final lifts on some of the roads to get that last, you know, so that the catch basins work. They all work properly and they're working the way they are, but to get that last lift on CERT. We generally don't like to put the last lift and do those things until the builders are out and move away. This is a different project. This is 4,000 homes on it. So we're thoughtful. We've been working with Seth and internally on how we move forward with that final lift to accept those programs. So easily within 6 months, we'll have our first citizens out there living and producing. So
great. I've had people ask me, so I figured I'd ask. Thank you very much.
So what did the lady at Oshio's not ask you this time that she asks every time?
Yes, that's just the mirror. So every time I go there, she goes, Andy, Mr. Andy, you keep telling me you know, when is the growth coming? We've been here for however many years, because I helped recruit them to come here when they had their one office. Brenda remembers that. We had one, they had an Oshio's at Enumclaw, and we, mm-hmm. they came and started looking, and me and Seth and everybody's staff worked really hard to make sure that they came here. And so, like, when is the growth? When is the growth? And see, yesterday she had this look, which was just a like, and she's trying to run, but not run. You know? And she handed me my food, and she looked at me and said, ah, you're not asking me today when the customers are coming. It's very busy. So, thank you. And again, thank you for the respect you show my staff. It's very noticeable, and we do appreciate it. Thank you.
Is there any other department reports? Okay, I'll move on to the mayor's report. I met with Mike Nelson and Jan Molinaro, who's the mayor of Enumclaw, about a joint meeting between the school district and Enumclaw Council and Black Diamond Council that we're going to hold on November 5th. So we'll have one more planning meeting before then. I attended the comp plan open house on Monday, and we had around 40 people. Not everybody signed. The sign-in sheet, but I think we had a really good turnout. I thought it was a good turnout. On Tuesday, on 4/17, I attended Skateboard, where our new regional chamber, Black Diamond, Maple Valley, Covington, Southeast Area Legislative Transportation Coalition did a presentation. We also had a presentation from King County about GMA and how King County figures out their numbers, and I had a question why their numbers were significantly different than what PSRC was, and he said they don't change their information like PRSC does until it's time for them to renew there, so they didn't care that our numbers were different, significantly different. And then when I got back, Andy and I met with Reagan Dunn and his assistant, Tom Goff, and we took him on a tour of 10 trails and discussed all the new council engagement from what we had the last 2 years. And then we had a fire ad hoc committee Tuesday night. And then yesterday I made a PowerPoint presentation to the chamber, Black Diamond Maple Valley Chamber, on the state of our city, which is a similar PowerPoint I will be doing at our Tri-City meeting on the 23rd. And then I just wanted to remind you of the Mountain View Pancake Breakfast on Saturday from 7:30 to 11, and there's some flyers over there, and they suggested donation is $5. One of the firefighters' kids is in Children's Hospital, and so they're raising funds to pay for Children's Hospital. So they usually, well, last year, I don't know if they've done it a couple times before, but anyway, that's Saturday. And then on Sunday from 1 to 4, there's a Earth Day work party at the park that's being organized by the Lake Story Parks Foundation, and so I want anybody that wants to go down and work and cut scotch broom or blackberries or bring
years.
Your tools and your gloves and wear your work clothes, and you can either meet in the parking lot for the park, or you can walk like I walk from my house. It's just easier to walk. So anybody that wants to go. So Council Member Deedy.
All right, so I have a long list here.
Yes, she does.
Okay, so I attended the skateboard meeting, South King County Area Transportation meeting with Janie and the mayor. Mayor already went through all that, so I won't do that. I also like to welcome that we have two new employees at the Public Works and a new employee at City Hall.
Two Public Works.
Two Public Work employees and one
at City. He'll start on the 30th.
Okay, so that's awesome. So that'll help at City Hall there. Finance meeting I attended, comp plan open house I attended. I know I have had several questions about the signs that went up for Oak Point for directional to their property out there and for the directional up here for Lost and Hill States. So I went in to meet with Andy. Andy wasn't there. He was out on Oak Point site. So I did talk to Alex. And Alex said, you know, there is a provision in the code that I hope I get this right. If not, Andy can correct me. There's a provision in the code that allows for two signs for businesses that are expecting a lot of people to come in, or just expecting, or that they're hard to find businesses and they need directional sign for people that are coming into the city to find where they are located. So those signs fit into that criteria. And then I've had people comment about the banner, and I know Erica Morgan commented about the banners. Alex didn't know if there was anything in our code on the banners, and I don't believe there is. So right now they're kind of free.
You want me to answer these?
Yes. Yeah. So I'm just, so let me finish. So
you need to set the record.
Yeah, so come on up and tell me about the banners and signs.
So first of all, the directional signs that you mentioned, the larger signs, you're allowed two if you cannot find the common means of travel, is how it's gone in there. So through that, there is an administrative decision, and that then you must demonstrate, one, the trying to get your people to your business so you can't get off from it. You then have to provide a letter from the property owner that allows you to have it on, you know, so it's all permitted, and we went through that. So it's the same thing we do with Garrett Homes. So there's one over here for Garrett Homes on the corner of Gomer Evans Jr. Drive and Highway 9. So Garrett Homes did theirs, and then Oak Point did their too. And so they are allowed to, you are correct, that went through. As far as the banners, currently those are Oak Point owned lights. They have not been dedicated to the city. They have not been accepted by the city. Those are Oak Point lights. But part of that process was, is we met with John Lakefish, who works for Colin, and entertained the idea of the banners and went through that process. I met with Mayor Benson, and we discussed it. And if you notice, there's a lot of them that say Historic Black Diamond within that thing. We elected as an administration to allow them to put them up there.
Okay, can I go off of that?
Point, it's a call that is my decision, along with the mayor, to allow us to put up there.
Okay, and I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. We have other light poles in the city that are not owned by Oak Point that do have a potential, do have the capability of putting banners on. Mm-hmm. So my statement is I do not believe anywhere in the code states on the banners. So is there something that I missed where it says that only the city staff have the right to decide what goes up there? If a citizen comes in and says, I want to put a banner up because it's whatever.
The city doesn't own the poles that those banners are on.
So that's
169.
Okay.
Those are lights, and those are owned by Puget Sound Energy.
So if you wanted to do that, you'd have to get a hold of them?
No. We negotiated with Puget Sound Energy, city staff, to allow Labor Days, all nonprofits. So Labor Days,
Miners Days,
Hometown Christmas,
that are put on there.
Okay.
We did float at one time, as Mr. Botcher remembers, we did float at one time a narrative that would have allowed people to apply and would pay and rented those spaces. Mm-hmm. So like Tough Mudder or that Hell Halloween we did.
We only did that once, though.
But, right. You know, it is a point. We don't discuss those banners in there, but we took the liberty as administration, along with the mayor's guidance, allow those to put up. But I was 169. So if it's a bigger issue, we can draft code.
I just think there would be a nice to have something in the code about those so that people understand that those are specific for these areas, so nonprofits and for the city to use. Because I'm assuming that is going to be also when Oak Point turns over the light poles down on Roberts Drive, that the city is going to use those for Miners Day, Labor Day, and whatever function that is a nonprofit.
The ones you mean like in front of City Hall?
Well, well, City Hall or on mm-hmm. on Robert Street, or are those still going to be owned by Oak Point on the sidewalk?
No, so those are Seth's project, and Seth doesn't have banner capability on them.
On those ones.
You could add another pole, but when those were designed, those weren't designed with banner capabilities. We made sure ours were.
Okay, so the ones down by the roundabout.
The roundabout, those ones that go into Dogwood, those ones that were, that, so internally in the plat, mm-hmm. ultimately those light poles and those will be paid for by the Homeowners Association. So if our goal is to regulate what they do on theirs with their poles, I mean, that's what I'm trying. Are you trying to figure out what to regulate?
No. So inside Oak Points, I mean, that's the Homeowners Association that's going to.
They're paying for those lights.
Right. So that's, I'm not talking about inside a development. I'm talking about what's on public right-of-ways, on public streets is all I'm talking about. So Roberts Drive and 169. Just some clarification in the code for those.
The lovely sign code. Here we go. Yes, we will deal with that, and we will draft something up or amend the code or add a portion to it. And
just so you can look
and
up
talk
and
talk about the banners, because we had had this discussion when we did the last banners, which are only six of them, I think, along Highway 169, and had that the idea is like, do we really want these to be sellable? We want these things to do. But I would encourage you, as now I'm put on my economic development director's hat, right? I would encourage the council to be thoughtful that for every one of these houses, you get $1,700 to help pay for your fire truck. Mm-hmm. For every one of these commercial buildings that we put on there, they pay $2.09 a square foot towards your fire truck. So if we want to help build a fire truck and we want to get people to actually know where they're going to, the banners are a good way to do it. Mm-hmm. So I just want you to be thoughtful of marketing a project, not just 10 trails, Lawson Hills. There's large other pieces of property that are being going to be sold here. They're going to have that, the ability of what we can do with that, that we aren't more regulating the ability to people to freely market their property and to get customers to come. That's like, hopefully it is not our intention.
Well, so I think this discussion is good, because this discussion that you're having now only stayed internal. It wasn't out for all of us to understand that. So it's good for the public to understand,
sure.
And it's good for the council to understand mm-hmm. the sign, the banners. And so thank you for coming up and talking to all of us about this and the citizens, so that they know, you know, what the purpose of the banners are and how they're being used.
Okay, so we will go back and then draft some language and work with Mr. Linehan to adopt and morph the code, working with the Public Works Director on, because generally utility poles ultimately become the authority under Seth's department once they've turned over. He is ultimately the person that has to do those.
So, Councilmember Deedy, your code does have a sign code. There is a provision. I was just looking up the number. It's 18.82 is the chapter, and that's the current version of the sign code, which regulates signs on public rights of way and other parts of the city. So I'll be happy to, please feel free to give me a call, give any call. We can work on something, drafting something for the council to consider to amend the current code.
Okay, great. Thank you. So, not done yet. So,
not done with me?
No, I'm done with you.
We're never done with you, Andy.
At least I think. So, I know I've heard a little bit of rumor about Labor Day, so I'm just going to throw my two cents out really quick. A little bit of a rumor is that maybe not have it on 169 this year, have it redirected somewhere else. So I would just like to put my two cents out and say, if that is even being thought about, I'd like to see that not happen, and especially this year be like the last year ever out of 100 plus years that it's been on 169, that it be a celebration of a last year, if that ever happens. So just my two cents there. I'd like to thank Kevin. I think he was here.
Oh, he was here.
We had a sink fall off at the gym. A kiddo decided to hang on it or climb on it. It fell. Nobody got hurt. So he fixed that. No water damage or anything. I would also like The mayor, and I'm sorry I missed, on Wednesday you did a state of the city at the
chamber.
And I would love to see you do it here as a presentation in front of the council and citizens that would like to come. I think it's well worth doing for your citizens.
I can do that.
Yeah, I think it would be great, and I think it would show that, you know, everything that you're working on at City Hall. Let's see, the ad hoc committee we attended, so Chris and I and the mayor. So back to Andy's discussion about, you know, money coming in. We need a fire truck, and it's $600,000 for this fire truck. So we need May. You need the finance committee to look at, do we go for a loan? How do we get this $600,000? Because it is our responsibility as a city to supply our fire needs here. So it is not District 44. They are just paid to do the service here, but it's still our job to supply all those needs. Also, the fire department has before brought up here at the council and at our safety meeting that they do need a machine. It's an extrication tool, so jaws of life to get people out of vehicles if they're trapped in there and they need help. Ours is not so good. It's failing, so they're using theirs, but they're bringing a big order in for themselves, and they would like to put this on. It's $33,000, and it's really needed here. It's a 15 to 17% discount if it's put on a bulk order. So, again, we as a council need to direct May and the finance department to say we need this $33,000 to help the fire department get the equipment to sufficiently protect our citizens. So we need to move forward with that. Let's see what else. Colin, thank you for doing your presentation. It is overdue. I was looking forward to it over 2 years ago or 2 years ago because it's important. And as everybody heard tonight, you gave not just what's happening today, but you gave an outlook on the future of what's coming forward and what's being done. And we don't always get, you know, we don't always think when we go in to talk to Andy or Seth or anybody, you know, all the things that are rolling through there. So it really helped for me tonight to understand, here's all the projects that are coming forward, here's what we're going to be doing, here's where we're going to be. Had we gotten that 2 years ago, we would have known, I believe, on all the projects that you're going forward with. And it would have helped us prepare even better for our citizens to understand. So thank you. And Gomer, congratulations on your road. That is very cool. It's kind of been the Gomer year. You had the Masonic Hall named after you, which is a truly an honor, and then the road. So it's well-deserved. You are a wealth of information and history for this city. You're a wonderful man, and congratulations.
Yeah, I'm done. Councilmember Oglesby.
Mine's not that long. I do have a job.
I'm just kidding.
Okay, so we'll start off. Yes, I did attend the Gomer Evans Jr. Celebration, so I was very proud to be part of that. Thank you, and I wouldn't have missed that for the world. So I was very honored to be there and listen and watch that happen. I did also attend the Comp Plan Open House on Monday the 16th. Very nice to see all the citizens come out and look at that and be able to talk to city staff and just everything around. It was really well put together, and Brenda did a great job with snacks. I like goldfish. I did volunteer at the Black Diamond Historical Society this last Sunday with my husband. I met a new business owner here in town, and walked through and wanted to know the history about the buildings. That was really exciting to meet new business owners also that are not just in the new 10 trials, but here, right here in Black Diamond. So great, great to meet him. The next thing I'd like to speak to a little bit regarding what Tammy said regarding the future of Black Diamond Laboratories, being I'm the director of that this year. being 5 years being the director, that nothing has come to a decision yet on where and how or what we're going to do. We are just now starting our first meeting out of 6 months of planning for this Labor Day's next Thursday, April 25th at 6:30 at the bakery. And looking for more volunteers. There's a lot of people on that committee that volunteer on that will be stepping down from their positions, and we will be looking for more volunteers to continue this tradition in our community that is so well-deserved. And I just want to let you guys know a little bit about that. When we raise money, we ask businesses, we ask citizens, we ask everybody to donate money to put this event on for you guys, the residents, the city, the people that come in and enjoy, to spend money in our city. We go out there and do the legwork for this. So this is a huge thing for our city. It's one of our biggest events we hold here, and it's all done by volunteer work. We don't get paid. We meet twice a month for the next 6 months, planning this, organizing this. It takes a lot of time, a lot of talented people on this committee, and we are going to be losing quite a few, like pretty much the whole entire committee this year. So please, I'm begging the residents and the citizens, if you guys want a piece of history and put your footprint into this, you know, historical event that's been happening on for years and years, we're welcome to people to come in and just observe, watch, fill where you want to fill in, see what you want to do here. But yes, there's no firm reason to think that nothing's changed out. It definitely is a decision of the committee on where and when we're going to hold this, where we're going to hold this event. So no concerns. And if you want to be a part of that decision, please join us next Thursday, 6:30 at the bakery. Thank you. That's all I have.
Councilmember Edelman?
I started out, I went to the Enumclaw powwow a couple of weeks ago. That was very fun. And for those of you that know Chad and Jen Lethem that just live right up here, their daughter was the princess. Mm-hmm. And I'd always wanted to go to one. Really fun because there were lots of different Native tribes that were represented. There was a lot of drumming going on. There were, I think, seven different groups of people with their drums. It was fun. And there's another one coming up later. I'm probably going to go to that one too. I went to the Public Works meeting on the 10th, and I think what you see coming forward like tonight, these are agenda bill items that we talk about in our meeting. We accept or reject and recommend maybe coming forward. So those are very important meetings. At the Public Issues Committee meeting last week, there wasn't anything where we would need to take a vote. The pre-pick was on the homeless issue again. So if you're interested, you can, I don't know if you guys actually get their emails from Deanna? Okay. But one thing I wanted to bring forward to you guys, and you all got a, this is for the council, this isn't for the public. The Sound Cities Association is partnering and doing a partner forum, and they're going to talk about recycling. And this is coming up on Friday the 27th from 10 to 11:30 at Mercer Island Community Center. And the topic is going to be China's national sword policy. And I don't know if you're aware, but China has decided that they don't want our recyclable stuff anymore. And it's creating a big problem for the United States because we ship all of that stuff over to China. And there are some things. I've talked to Mayor Jeff Wagner from Covington. He works for Republic Services. And there are some things like the pop bottles, I think, the plastic bottles that still can go over. But there's a lot of the other stuff that was supposed to be recyclable that they're not taking. So I plan on attending this. And so council members are all invited to attend if they'd like. We did the work study last week. The comp plan open house I thought was amazing. I loved the interactive traffic videos that showed how traffic was going to work, and especially on Roberts Drive in Morgan, that's so dark anyway, and to have a functioning roundabout there I think is going to be great. I also went to the skateboard meeting. I was requested to be one of the presenters to the skateboard on what we're doing with the Southeast Area Legislative Transportation
committee.
Coalition.
So it was really kind of fun to be able to talk to all of these other elected officials about what Maple Valley, Covington, and Black Diamond are doing to help try and come up with some solutions for our traffic. And then yesterday I attended the chamber luncheon. But there's some upcoming things that I wanted to bring to your attention. Number one, on the 28th, and I'm not quite sure where and when, but there is going to be a boating safety class that's going to be put on by Sergeant Jurius. And some of us are old enough, we don't need one of those little motorboat permits, but I'm going to take the course anyway, because it's been way too many years since I took a Power Squadron course. But I would invite anybody who's going to be on our lakes and in a boat, that if you're in a powered boat, you should take the class. If you get pulled over, you do get a ticket. So, or they'll stop you at the boat launch. Another thing that we've got coming up, the mayor and I had been talking about it, and I think, Tammy, you were involved in some of this too, doing some kind of welcome wagon type material for not just 10 trails. We have a lot of new people coming into our city. And so the mayor told me that I could do this. I would like to start a committee. And Melissa, you had expressed an interest. So
yes.
I think it would be you and me for the time being. Yeah. And we're looking at having citizens also be involved. I know Myra Hoke wanted to be involved in it too. So what we want to do is to come up with, whether it's a packet. We did this at Lake Sawyer Community Club 20-some-odd years ago, and it was not fancy or flashy, but it got the information out. But we can do, whether it's like a little peachy folder and have information inside, or do a pamphlet of some sort. But I'm looking for some citizen volunteers to come and work with us to create something that we can give a hard copy to the new people, but that we can also put on the website, because these new young folks don't want paper. They just want to go online and do whatever they do. But if anybody's interested, either contact me. Brenda's going to help us also. You can contact Brenda. So maybe in the next few weeks we can get going on that and get it started. So just let me know if you're interested. So that's about it.
Councilmember Stout.
Thank you. I also attended the powwow on the 6th, and it was all it was cracked up to be. It was really fun. The dancing was unbelievable. And it, mm-hmm. we kind of sat up real straight and proud when Princess Grace entered, and she had a special ceremony. So this is the Latham's daughter. As the retiring princess, she had kind of a ceremony, and her family came, and they did a special song, and it was really, really something special. And they had dance competitions. I didn't even stay and watch all of them. It was I left a little after 9 o'clock, and they had lots more to go. But the little tiny kids who went out there dancing, and even the ones who were not competing, they said, oh, they're doing some exhibition dancing out there. And they were just so cute, like little three-year-olds out there doing these fabulous dances. And we had some neighbors, the Taylors, that were there with some of their grandchildren. I just thought it was a great display of cultural, kind of historical, beautiful stuff that we don't really necessarily see all the time. So it was awesome. I went to a public works meeting on the 10th and a finance committee meeting on the 12th. And then the work study session that we attended on the evening of the 12th. The 16th, I was really pleased to attend the comprehensive plan open house that was here. I thought the displays were really nice, very thoughtful. We wrote a little bit on the poster, some things that we thought maybe the vision statement needed a little tweaking, and we're hoping to see a little more realistic statement there. I attended the Chamber of Commerce luncheon yesterday. It was really awesome to have our mayor give her State of the City address. She just did a really good job. And then it was great also to hear from the Maple Valley mayor and the city
manager.
Manager, they participated together, and what a great community we live in. It was just really wonderful to be there with all of those people. Last night I went to a town hall meeting at Thomas Jefferson High School, sponsored by King County Council member Peter von Reichbauer. It was about flood emergency preparedness. And I don't think maybe in Black Diamond we're at too much of a risk for flooding ourselves right here. But we drive. We go to work. We, you know, go around this area, and we have a lot of rivers, and this year we have a lot of snowpack. So if we have some rapid warming, we could have some rapid flooding. We have about 125% of the typical snowpack. So they had representatives from the Flood and Emergency Operations Department, I think it's called, the director there. She was really awesome. She has an app that you can download, and you can be sent alerts about what's going on. And she said, as soon as I know, you will know. She puts it on the app. And she said they don't call you in the middle of the night unless there's a really terrible emergency. King County Emergency Management, Washington Military. I had to look that up. Like, what's Washington Military? That's what we all call the National Guard, but it's the state military. And they have a big emergency operations center that's going all the time. And the Army Corps of Engineers. So they all gave presentations. They gave out freebies. I got a, you know, the little Mylar blanket to keep in my car for an emergency. They all have websites. They all have resources. They all have things that can help us. And they're not only talking about floods, but earthquakes, which, of course, are always in our back, the back of our mind. So it was an awesome. I will say the Emergency Management Department gave me a little thumb drive that had all of their templates and, you know, everything that you could need. They gave me on that little thing. And I thought, hey, maybe we could do this for our welcome wagon. Because, you know, like we were discussing, people don't want a folder. If you give them a, I mean, what do you do with the advertisements that come in your newspaper every week? Right? But if they had, those little zip drive things are super inexpensive, and I don't know how to make them, but they're probably really easy, and Rob Reed could probably whip them out like crazy. So I thought that might be a resource that we could just put everything that we want everybody to know on their little thing. They can plug it into their computer, and that would be cool. And so that was yesterday. I guess that was the last thing. But I love keeping busy. I love going to meetings. I love meeting community members. I love working with the staff. And I have lots of opportunities, and luckily I have lots of time that I'm available to do that. So I think if community members have things, like when Jen Latham came and invited us to the powwow, you know, we're available to go and make a presence for Black Diamond. So if you know of things that you think that we as council members should attend, we would love to go.
Councilmember Wisniewski.
Well, let's see. I started at the, you know, by the time we get to me, they've already said everything. So
that's what we need to go to.
The work study where we discussed the welcome wagon stuff, we're really trying to be inclusive, not just as much as we want to, you know, gladly welcome our new Ten Trails citizens. There's other people that are moving into our community, right? We want it to be for everybody that moves in. So we did the work study. We had the fire ad hoc meeting where we discussed talking about the need for the new fire truck, the need for the new firehouse, the equipment that we talked about, right? The kind of the jaws of life, except for that. I think that's probably trademark, so this is a different brand. But we're saving a huge amount if we can get as part of this group buy that the fire department's doing. I mean, saving, you know, 15-17% on equipment like that's a good deal. We talked about the annexation, and we talked about kind of, you know, general firefighting stuff and response times and that kind of stuff. So we had the comp plan open house, which was great. Great to see the attendance there. I was very surprised by the amount of people that showed up, right? I was very impressed by all the presentations everybody did. You guys did a great job. That was really impressive, the little videos and even the little candy the candy corn safety cones. They were pretty cool, right? The cookies were good. Coffee went pretty quick, but, you know. But that was really great to see. The mayor said, the fire department is having a pancake breakfast on Saturday morning. You still want more pancakes on Sunday morning. I know the Knights of Columbus are having a pancake breakfast at St. Barbara's. And I think on Saturday, I saw this on Facebook today, so somebody correct me if I'm wrong, the library is having a rock painting thing for kids. So I don't know if you guys know, but there's a kind of a Maple Valley Covington group that does these, paints these rocks and leaves them all over, and it's really cool. The kids love it. So, Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon, I'll be in Olympia. There will be a Second Amendment rally there, I think that's the end of my list. I think that's enough.
There you go. Mayor. Thank you, Mayor. Councilmember Deedy.
Just add off of Krista's statement about the fire department. We will not have a meeting. The ad hoc will not have a meeting until July.
Yep.
We are just waiting for the attorney to look over the annexation agreement and for Oak Point and the city to figure out where the location will be for a fire department. So yep. We have postponed us meeting and waiting for those two entities to report back, and then we'll...
Yep.
We'll move forward.
Yeah, I think we've also got some vacations in there and stuff that we were moving around. So the other thing I didn't mention is, you know, one of the things we did when I was a firefighter back in New York is we took donations from businesses towards equipment. We didn't paint them up like NASCAR or anything, so don't worry. You're not going to have a fire truck with a big, you know.
Oshio
sign on the side. Maybe.
That's right.
That's right. This hose is sponsored by, you know. But if you know of any business owners that would like to have our great appreciation and donate towards equipment's expensive. It's really it's not like the old days where you could take an F-350 and put a different chassis on it and, you know, make it into a rescue truck or a brush truck, or, you know, take an old water truck and make it into a tanker, that kind of thing. Now, the regulations are very different nowadays, right? And trucks aren't cheap. So, but they're already working on the engineering side of that, so, which is good, which is why we kind of got the ballpark figure about what they cost. So, I'm looking forward to that. As a former firefighter, it's really great to be on the ad hoc committee. And I realize I'm nowhere near as young as I was when I was a firefighter. These young kids that are doing it nowadays... I'll stay sleeping at night without my pager next to my bed and my boots next to my bed. So, what's that?
Do we have an attorney report?
Not to my mayor.
So it's now time for a second public comments. If you wish to address council, please come forward and state your name and the city.
You have to wait to be recognized.
Oh, yeah, get in front of the mic.
He's recognized.
What's your address? I forgot. Oh, yeah. Okay, I got to say it. Gomer Evans Jr. Drive.
Yes.
That's only one house in the whole thing.
Yes, so he doesn't have to remember the house number.
Great. But anyway, I just want to, 2 weeks ago, Howard Botts and I signed a letter about 7-member council. And, you know, all those years we were mayors, we had 5 councilmen. But the last 2 years has been a disaster for our city, because there's 3 people and a majority in the council ruined our city, put us way behind 5 years. And that was the thought that Howard and I had. If we had 7, it'd be a lot harder to get a majority of 4 people to kill our city again. So I know the council... appropriate action tonight, and looking forward to it, and it'll be here eventually, And so that was Howard and I's thought on that whole thing. So I had a good presentation. You guys all thought it out, and I think it'll, and in the future it'll come. And one thing we always thought about, and so we always thought, well, you know, you have five councilmen, it'd be nice to have a couple extra. They could do a little extra work. It's a lot of work for a councilman, and they all learn everything. So the mayor would have a lot more people to give talks for.
Pat?
Pat Nelson, Black Diamond. I just want to be the DMV and try and change your address. That'd be hilarious to get anybody to make that address. This is awesome to see that you guys are separate thinkers. You can have a conversation. No mudslinging. No one's bringing popcorn and making jokes. You're getting stuff done. That's impressive, and I thank all of you for doing that. We definitely have things you want and different directions you want to go, but you're actually willing to talk to city staff. It's nice to have a whole council that actually talks to the staff, knows who they are, actually visits them. It's also nice to know that we may not all be on the same page, but we're in the same book. You know, we have council members now that actually care about the city, not things that have gone on. It's just super exciting. I think that your public discussion of what you guys did is actually longer than the meeting itself. So that's the first. But just thank you guys for all you do. You know, moving to seven councils is going to be a big headache as far as logistically making sure that you guys are set up. I will run. I'm going to go through the process a third time. Third time's a charm, or I'll never do it again. But the thing is the city's growing. It's growing in a good way. There's a lot of positive things coming. I think that, you know, the past 2 years, the residents have realized what's working, what's not working, what we can and can't change, what we need to do better. The fire department thing is amazing. We need that done. It's nice to have a former firefighter on the council that can help with some of the planning of that. You guys just keep up the good work and keep disagreeing and getting along and not having us something to talk about later. Thanks.
I do have to comment that Councilmember Didi is also a former firefighter.
Yeah.
I stand corrected.
Is there anybody else? Robin?
Robin Taylor, Black Diamond. In going to the seven-member council, I think there's a couple of logistics you need to consider. Councilmember Didi brought up one about, well, if three members are up for election the next time and you've got two new ones, you need to consider where in the election cycle you're going to appoint these new people. If you appoint them in January and they have to run in the next general election, that means they have to file in May. So if you appoint them after the filing date, I assume then it goes to the following general election a year away. So you really need to consider at what point in the election cycle you are going to appoint these new people, because I, for one, would not want to get appointed and then be thrown into the election grinder. That's not going to help them learn their roles. So you really need to keep that in mind when you are considering when you are going to appoint these new members. And I thought there was something else, but that's all. So thank you.
Jana?
I'm Jana Thompson, Black Diamond. So I want to give you a third opportunity to have pancakes this weekend. The Black Diamond Maple Valley Kiwanis Club is having a pancake breakfast at Applebee's on Saturday from 9 to 11. And Applebee's doesn't serve breakfast, so they just open for these types of fundraisers. And it's $10. And the fundraiser that we're raising money specifically to help the Maple Valley Veterans Memorial, which is an awesome project that they're doing in Maple Valley. So we're helping with that. So You guys, everybody get out and get some pancakes this weekend. There's lots of opportunities. So, Councilmember Edelman, thank you very much for reviewing all the points that I made about the going to increasing the size of the council. Thank you very much to the council for having such a great conversation about it. And I agree with Robin. Thought into the whole timing and how that interacts with the election and what the attorney brought up about them needing to run, because people really need to know, candidates really need to have that information on the front end, what they're looking at. So that's an interesting piece of the puzzle. So, and then I was also just sitting here thinking how things were a year ago. A year ago at our council meetings, the room was packed and we were talking about Roberts Drive. And we were talking about, and here we are a year later, and the roundabout is in, and Roberts Drive is beautiful, and there's a plan for fixing the damage that was done a year ago with the bridge not getting completed. So it's just, I think it's just so important all year that we just have to pause and celebrate the work that was done to change the direction and change the atmosphere in here. It's been such a positive experience. So, great job.
Mr. Williamson? Mr. Citizen Williamson?
No, it can still be staff. I forgot something.
You only have 3 minutes.
Perfect. Tonight, before the council meeting, we had a hearing with the hearing examiner, which put a conditional use for the property. I think most of us know it has been a Drosco property. Mm-hmm. But and so it is for ultimately 216,000 square feet of a little bit of commercial, but storage. But what I want you to think of the number of 263,000 square feet times $2.09. Right?
Fire truck.
There's your fire truck. Okay.
This what was the number?
200. Excuse me. My number was $263,000. It's 126,000 square feet. It's a two-phase project, but when that project is done, they pay the same fire impact fee of $2.09. That's growth helping growth. That's growth paying for growth. Traffic impacts on this thing were 30 vehicle trips a day. Hmm. So it was very well received. We'll wait for the hearing examiner's ruling, but if that project moves forward, there's half of a fire truck or a gate car or a rescue truck or a
whatever. Good point.
And for those of you that weren't here, the hearing examiner said, wow, he said, that's the first time I've been in Black Diamond and they actually supported a project.
It was actually the second time, because Bob and I testified when our neighbors wanted to put in the carport. We had to come in front of the hearing examiner.
Oh. Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close public comments. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting adjourned.